Ads, schmads. If you don't want ads, that's okay. Choose the Dave McWilliams Plus option on Apple Podcasts. And hey presto, no ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
To understand the economy, you have to understand human nature.
This podcast is powered by Acast.
How are you doing there? It is time for the podcast. John and I are reenacting a great scene from Narcos. Did you ever see Narcos? The great, actually really brilliant story. Pablo Escobar.
Yeah.
And there's a moment where the Cali cartel and the Medellin cartel and some other cartel are sitting around. They're basically divvying up the coke world, right?
Yeah.
And the thing about our friend Escobar, one of the editorial decisions they've taken in that show was that Escobar was always thinking ahead. And he was always quite happy to do a deal with the other cartels and give them a piece of the action and all that. So imagine that. And in Goodfellas, you've also got a cartel scene.
Mm. But actually, the one that I've just finished watching is The Gentlemen on
Netflix.
Oh, I
don't know that one.
Well, it's a Guy Ritchie. I love Guy Ritchie. He tells the same story over and over again in Snatch, in Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, all those stuff. But he just tells them so well. They're funny, they're humorous, they're violent. The Gentlemen is the same kind of deal.
Drug dealers, is it?
Yeah, it's drug dealers. There's always these different cartels. So it's based in the UK, but it's, you know, there's the posh guys, there is the Eastern Europeans, there's the travellers, there's the East End London hard jaws.
Yeah.
And they're all kind of, but it's brilliant. But in The Gentlemen, they're divvying up the weed market.
But this is all about divvying up.
Speaking of, it's brilliant.
Didn't Guy Ritchie, was it... Your man played the traveller in, what's his name?
Oh, Brad Pitt, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Dags. We got the Dags.
Yeah, right. Okay. When our kids were very young in Croatia, they were about 7 or 8 years old and they were out in the playground in the village.
Yeah.
And they came back into me and they were a bit kind of crestfallen. They'd been with a bunch of Croatian kids. And then Lucy says, what does I'll fight you for the caravan mean? What had happened is they turned up as Irish kids and the Croats had never met Irish kids, but they'd been watching Snatch. And when Lucy said, we're Irish, one of the Croat kids says, I'll fight you for the caravan. So that was my only Guy Ritchie story. That's and our kids were like, well, it's hard to explain. Anyway, we want to talk about cartels.
Yeah.
We want to talk about dealing. We want to talk about owning segments of the market, because we are talking about the demise of the sale of, the forced sale of TikTok. Because, John, we have spoken about the massive, massive existential divisions in the United States between Democrats and Republicans. The twain will meet. They will never, ever agree on anything. And what do they agree on this week? TikTok.
Yeah.
The House of Representatives, the most divided House, who hate each other. And say that they are ideologically so opposed to each other, they can't agree on anything. 352 of them versus 65 in the House of Representatives in the United States voted to ban TikTok.
Yeah.
So anything that brings American Republicans and Democrats together in an election year, John, in an election year, is worthy of discussion. And they want to ban TikTok. TikTok.
I just think this is an amazing story because it feels to me in many ways deep, deep paranoia on the American front, but also really un-American at the same time. You know, it's kind of like America.
America, please, without the A, America.
America. But it's like they're looking at this company going, that's a really successful company. I'm going to have it.
I'm going to buy it, exactly.
Give us that.
It is. So let's look at it in the context, John, of two things. One is this is part of Cold War Mark II, the Cold War between China and America.
Mm.
Now, remember Huawei, the 5G company that the Americans destroyed, right? TikTok looks as if it's going down the same route. Now, the Americans, of course, are saying the following. They're saying, look, hold on a second. 63% of teens in the United States use TikTok, right? 63%. 170 million Americans use TikTok. 170 million. And 20% of Gen Z, 20% of Gen Z, it is claimed that they use TikTok. They're on TikTok more than 5 hours a day. Hours a day.
But it's incredible. I don't know. Are you on TikTok?
We're too old for TikTok.
Well, yeah. I mean, I get onto TikTok the odd time because my daughter says, oh, you got to look this. You got to look. And she sends me stuff. But like talking to my daughters, like they get their worldview from TikTok these days.
Exactly.
And I'm kind of going, no, you need to kind of broaden the view. But they're going, why should I bother? It's all there.
Well, it's all there. But let's look at it from the idea, from your idea here. That the Americans say, that's a very valuable company and we want some of it. And let's look at it from the drug cartel analogy. So imagine, right, that Silicon Valley is the home of the Medellin cartel.
Right,
right, okay. Imagine. Right. And what are they selling? Do you remember we did the podcast a couple of weeks ago on dopamine hits?
Yes.
But they're selling addiction.
Mm.
They're selling dopamine hits to kids, right? And dopamine hits, because they're in the business of people's attention. So the economy has moved certainly online to an attention economy. And what you need is your daughters on TikTok 5 hours a day, getting all their information from TikTok. And of course, this is nothing more than a drug baron's terrain war. That's the way I look at it, right?
Yeah.
That basically, look at the people look at the people who want to buy TikTok.
Mm.
Microsoft, Apple,
yeah.
Meta, i.e. Facebook in old money,
yeah.
Alphabet, Google in old money, right?
Yeah.
Disney. All of these massive companies are in the business of grabbing our attention. That's how they make their money.
Yeah.
And they're looking at this Chinese company and they're saying, okay, they're better at dealing drugs than we are. The drug is the dopamine hit. The Chinese are better at dealing the dopamine hit than we are. We want to move against them. So they're ganging up and using the United States Congress and maybe the United States Senate against them under the umbrella of American data and American security and internal security, whatever. But what all it is, it's a heist. It's a Guy Ritchie-style heist.
Yeah, absolutely. And I loved Chuck Schumer's quote when he said, a US company should buy TikTok so everyone can still use it and our data will be safe.
Exactly.
How dare you?
But we know in the history that Google and Facebook monetize data much more than the Chinese Communist Party. That's what they do.
Yeah.
So let's look at this in the context of something bigger, which is the shift in the way the internet has been used and is being used. And what I would call is the dehumanization of curiosity is the name of this podcast.
Okay.
Myself and Eliza sat down for hours to come up with this strapline. The dehumanization of curiosity. So the basic idea is that the background story of TikTok is fascinating, right? The origin story. Where did this company come from?
Mm.
And what gives us its advantage? So why are your kids on it? My kids are on it. Why are 20% of Gen Zers spending 5 hours a day on it? Why has it grabbed the attention of young people? What is going on technologically and psychologically within TikTok to make it so valuable? And it's a fascinating, fascinating story of how, and again, this comes back to our discussion of the dopamine hits, which comes from Ted Gaiora's Substack. Well worth having a look at it, right?
Yeah.
And he's writing about this stuff, and I think he's way ahead of the tribe on this. And he was talking about, look, hold on a second. This is all about the ADHDization of attention, right? That everybody wants these tiny dopamine hits and everything has to be repackaged. So if you look at the history of TikTok, it comes from a guy called Zhang Yiming, was the guy who set it up.
Mm.
Now, he had worked in Microsoft in the early 2000s, a Chinese-American engineer. He then went to work for a Chinese company called Fanfu, which was like a Chinese Twitter.
Mm.
And this was then closed down by the Chinese authorities because they thought this was spreading misinformation. But what it seems that this guy, Zhang Yimin, at that stage said, okay, what we best avoid is any clashes with the Chinese government. He kind of took his message there, right?
Yeah.
And he set up TikTok. But what fascinated him was the power of algorithms as opposed to the power of search. And I think this is really fundamental.
Mm.
So if you look at when we were kids, if you wanted information, you went to a library. Right? You actually went to a library. When I was in college, you went to the library. When we were kids, you went to the Dunleary Library. You'd ask your mammy. And if your mammy didn't know, you'd go for the Encyclopedia Britannica. And if
we always had one of those.
The Encyclopedia Britannica. Yeah. And if that didn't know, you went to a library. So your curiosity was an incredibly active human urge to find knowledge, right? So that is pre-internet. Then you have the world of search. When Google comes in, and what was fascinating for us when the internet first started, 20 years ago, was that the active idea of search was animated by Google. You could search everything.
Yeah.
So you go from the library to online search through Google. But all the while, you, the human, your curiosity is the active ingredient generating everything.
Yeah.
Now, if you think about what happened after that, we move to more algorithm. So, for example, this morning, I woke up on Spotify. I went on Spotify to play some music, and it said, here is your suggested playlist. Now, I don't want a suggested playlist from... I felt like I said, fuck off.
Yeah.
I can do my own. I have my own musical taste.
Yeah.
But what it's doing is it's chipping away at the active user and turning me into a passive user. Now, this is very important.
Well, it makes it easy for you.
It makes it easy for you. So imagine, right? So you go from being an active, curious person to somebody whose curiosity is beginning to be curated by an algorithm, by a machine. And as you said, that makes it very easy. So you put on the Spotify playlist. And you say, oh, I quite like that. And that seems to be music I listened to a little while ago. And, oh, yeah, I remember I listened to that a while ago. And suddenly you're turning into a moron. This is the moronization of the human, right?
Yeah.
Now, imagine what's going to happen in the next iteration of that, which is that with AI, with artificial intelligence. So therefore, the data that the algorithm uses gets deeper and deeper and deeper into you, John Davis, which I know is a bizarre thing. I don't want to go anywhere deeper into this fella, right? I've known him for far too long. And the depths there, you don't want to go near the darkness.
You don't even want to scratch the surface.
You don't even want to scratch it. But think about what I'm saying, right? So we're going from a situation where human curiosity drives inquiry to a situation where a machine or an algorithm replaces curiosity, you become complacent, you become passive, and then you add AI into on top of that, and you become not so much hostage to the machine, but the machine is you.
Yeah,
and therefore you become this, like the lotus eaters. Remember we were talking about lotus eaters? You just sit around off your box, basically, getting somebody else to do things for you.
Yeah.
And that is the trick, to come back to it, that's the key to TikTok, is that this guy saw the power of algorithms.
Yeah.
And the power of algorithms is basically the emasculation of the user. And once the user is emasculated and deprived of their curiosity, they just become jelly and putty in the hands of the machine. And that's a fascinating thing.
The key thing as well, I think, about TikTok is that it's visual. And we're visual creatures.
Yeah.
So compared to, like, there's not a huge difference between TikTok and the old school Twitter, as it were. It was that kind of feed of news and all the rest. But the visual little clips are just great to watch, and they're flash and they're cool and they're funny and all the rest. But I was just going to say, just going back to what you're saying about the curiosity and the search element
the
of it.
Dehumanizing of curiosity.
But do you remember when the internet first came out and Google first came out And I remember distinctly kind of sitting down and going, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah. Yes.
And kind of going, what did I look up?
Yes.
You know,
because it animated your curiosity.
But it was almost overwhelming because I could look up anything in the world about any topic, any subject from any part of the world. And it's almost overwhelming.
And you, but if you think about education-wise, you were empowered.
Yes.
Stuff that had been exclusive to elite schools and to this, that, the, suddenly became available, which is why, you know, a friend of ours learned how to turn grass into hash from YouTube.
Yes. I'm not going to tell that story.
We won't give the name of the individual, yeah. But this is a conversation that we had the other night.
Yeah.
Okay. But from YouTube. So
yes,
YouTube
did,
was.
Yeah.
So basically, this is the delinquent version of the Khan Academy.
Yeah.
Right. So the Khan Academy teaches in mathematics.
There, Peter.
And our friend Peter. Right. Okay. But what I'm saying is that was all about emboldening and encouraging and making whole your curiosity, right? Mm. So you could do anything. This thing is really different. This thing is really different because it's basically turning you into a moron. And of course, the reason that TikTok is so successful is precisely because it started as entertainment. TikTok started as little humorous memes and little this, that,
yeah.
Get people giggling. And we all know that comedy is the greatest aphrodisiac. It gets people into things. The great aphrodisiac is when you're good at sex and always sex. Comedy, I knew it was something else. So we know that comedy is one of those great levelers, you know. And so TikTok was designed for bored teenagers. Give me something to make me laugh, right? So it lowers the bar all the time. And now the bar is so low, right, that everything has become little bite-sized, digestible dopamine hits for addicts. We come back to that idea. And that's what my whole point is, that this war over TikTok is a war of the dealers of the addiction, basically thinking, these Chinese lads, they're better at this. In a way, you know, for example, Meta and Alphabet are dealing heroin, and these guys are dealing fentanyl.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. If you think about, like, you know, the early stage, like, of Google. So Google was dealing information. So you went to Google for information, right?
Yeah.
Or Facebook was dealing sort of connectivity. You said, oh, I wonder, is that person on Facebook, right? Or Amazon was dealing stuff, goods, right? These guys are dealing something else. It's attention. They're in the attention business. And that's why it's so valuable.
But do you know, what's interesting about this as well is the timing.
Yes.
And this year in particular, 2024, is a presidential election year.
Yes.
And TikTok is one of the main ways of getting, as you just gave the numbers there earlier on, of getting to young voters, getting quick little hits of political messages to young voters. So, you know, there's something untoward about this timing.
Oh, the timing is very political. I think you're absolutely right.
And it's interesting that you're talking about Meta and Microsoft all possibly in the frame to buy them. But so is your man, Steve Mnuchin, who's Trump's guy.
Well, I know you see Trump behind everything, but you're right about the political. Nobody ever lost votes in America by bashing China too much, right? You bash the Chinese, whether you're on the right, you're left, Biden, Trump. It always works. That's the first thing. Second thing is, nothing so brings the House of Representatives together than an external enemy, China.
Yeah.
So these people are putting down the cudgels for this. More interesting, nothing excites the American mind more than money, right?
Yeah.
So this is all about money. You're talking hundreds of billions of dollars of revenue. TikTok, the app, has been downloaded 4 billion times. How many people are on the earth? 8 billion. That means half the people who live on the earth have downloaded this app. So it's phenomenally. And you know the amazing thing about TikTok? It doesn't exist in China.
Does it not?
No. It's a Chinese company, but TikTok doesn't exist in China.
That I didn't know that, actually. And I know that India has already banned TikTok because of their relationship. But what was interesting is Chu, the CEO of TikTok.
The new.
And he's a Singaporean guy. And I watched his, on TikTok actually,
You're down with the kids, man.
Oh, man, I'm telling
you. You're down with the kids. I'm still reading the newspaper, by the way.
What? What's that for? Exactly. That's for lighting fires.
Exactly. Absolutely. I'm sitting in the corner of the newspaper. You can hear like the big... Exactly.
But he was up in front of Congress, and I can't remember who it was. Was it Josh Hawley or your man Cotton that was quizzing him? And they kept saying, are you Chinese, sir? And he goes, no, I'm Singaporean. Have you ever been Chinese? No, I'm Singaporean.
Have you ever been Chinese?
Yeah. Have you ever supported the Chinese government? No, I'm Singaporean. Can you not hear me? I'm Singaporean. I did my 2 years service for Singapore and blah, blah, blah. And they kept bashing. Your wife is American. Why haven't you sought American citizenship? Because I haven't had time yet. But the paranoia oozing out of these guys.
It's paranoia on the one hand, but it's also politics. Right?
Oh, yeah,
it's
totally.
Also politics.
Totally.
But also the bizarre thing is, you know, this is prohibition. You're back to American prohibition. Yeah. This is back to banning booze, right? Banning booze was seen as a way of cleansing the American palate of the destruction of alcohol, right? And there was this amazing temperance movement in the United States. Right?
Yeah.
Banning TikTok is being marketed as cleansing America of these vile Chinese data scrapers who are going to absorb things. But all it is, as we said at the very, very top, is a smash and grab exercise by dealers of dopamine, the dopamine cartel, as my friend Ted Gaiori calls them, right? Who are basically saying, we want some of that business. There's nothing about protecting children from content. There's nothing about the idea that maybe kids being 5 hours a day on TikTok is bad for their brains. There's nothing about, is this addiction to these little bite-sized, as you said, easy to digest bits of information. There's nothing about that. It's not that the American Congress are worried about the societal impact of addiction.
Yes, that's so true.
To TikTok. They just want a bit of the gig. They just want a bit of the action.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, it's fascinating when you actually look at this that, you know, it always has been the case. Follow the money. Do you remember Deep Throat, John?
It was a porn movie, wasn't it?
It may well have been a porn movie, but it was also the All the President's Men, which was the Bernstein Woodward investigation into Watergate.
Yeah. Washington Post guys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The guy who was giving them the information, what are they called? The whistleblower. Mm. The whistleblower. His nickname was Deep Throat.
Yes.
Because he spoke down like this.
Yeah.
Not for the reasons you imagine. Okay. But he always said, follow the money. And it's exactly the same case here. It's not about politics. It's not about geostrategy. It's not about protecting America from bad Chinese people. It's about cash.
Okay, yeah, but follow the money. But, like, is it just about money, dollars, pounds, euros? Or, you know, the way they talk about protect your data. How valuable is data? But let's talk about that.
After our data break. Okay, fair enough.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
So, Mac, we're talking about TikTok and the cartels trying to divide TikTok up and steal it, basically.
Well, they're dealing a drug, and that drug is addiction. And it's addiction, it's not a physical addiction, but it's an emotional and psychological addiction that we see in lots and lots of people. And that's the addiction of giving somebody else your time.
And in giving the time, you're also giving them your data. People talk about, you know, the value of data and you should protect yourself and blah, blah, blah. But the way I see it, I'm never quite clear about this. Apart from giving away my bank details so somebody can physically rob me.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll just give you the account now. I've got it here. I'll give it to you afterwards. But
like, you know, what other data do they want from me? Because I'm not that important. I'm not going to change the world.
You don't think
or am I?
You are, John. So you think about...
Oh, thanks, Mike.
Yes, of course. You are, John. You're going to change the world, right? There's a thing called surveillance economics. The surveillance economy. And it's a book by a woman called Shoshana Zuboff, which is one of the great names. She's a Harvard professor and she's written a book about surveillance economics. And what she's talking about is precisely this, the value of data. Mm. And I want to answer this one part of the value of data and the other part is the value of time. So if we think of one of the most valuable commodities you can have is information, right? Information about you, the person. What do you watch? How do you spend your time? So if you think of in the old days, there were an enormous amount of survey companies set up to try and figure out what people were doing. So we'd have a survey and it'd say, John, do you spend, how many hours are you spending on television? Do you stroll? Do you this? And they're trying to create a marketing profile of you, John Davis, or of me, David McWilliams, or of Eliza Notaro, whoever it happens to be, right? And they're trying to think. And in order to do that, they're trying to figure out, you know, can I sell John Davis tickets to a Pixies gig? Now, they did. They figured out they could sell John Davis tickets to a Pixies gig last Friday because he was the right age and the right disposition and he liked, you know, a little bit of loud, soft. He is the monkey who went to heaven, right? Just to tell you, John got tickets for a Pixies gig last Friday. He was about to go to the Olympia. He said he'd go for a bottle of wine with his mates first. And what did they do? They had five bottles of wine and no Pixies gig.
That's right. That is right.
So in order, think about trying to find out, right? This comes back from when we talk about active to passive, right? Mm. So the world is going from active to passive. So in the old days, if you were a Pixies fan, right? You had to go read Hot Press, read NME, figure out what they were on, go to Golden Discs and buy your Pixies ticket. Yeah. So you were an unknown quantity to the people who sold Pixies tickets, right? You might have been a Pixies fan, but nobody knew you were, right?
Yeah.
Now, due to your, for example, Spotify listening, right? They think, okay, he's of a certain age. He's into this type of music. He lives in this sort of city, in this sort of urban area. Bands like the Pixies are very popular, et cetera, et cetera. They can narrow it down. And all of a sudden then, see that data? Mm. They pull all that data. And next thing you know, when you're online, up comes an ad for the Pixies.
What's wrong with that?
And you buy the... But that's the value of your data.
Yeah, I know. But I'm kind of willing to give my data for that.
You are willing.
This is my point.
But the point is...
We're talking about it making things easy.
It makes things very, very easy. And you can think from an advertising perspective, it makes things very, very easy. Because the more information you have about somebody, the more likely you are to target them, to buy them. So basically... What I'm saying is that data is important simply because data is commercially valuable.
Yeah.
There's the other side of data, which is the security side, which is what are you doing online? Who are you talking to? Et cetera, et cetera. Mm. This is the ones the Americans big up all the time, right? And then, of course, they think they can profile an entire nation. So all of which is possible, right? The other side of things, though, John, is the value of time, right? There, you know that expression, time is money?
Yeah.
Now, time is money is a fascinating expression because, of course, it is. And it comes from the medieval ages where in actual fact, clocks were first, the mechanical clock in the 14th century first. So people began to become on the clock, right?
Yeah.
And time is money. Now you imagine that if I have all this data about who you are, and I can also migrate you over to be a passive user online or on TikTok 5 hours a day, suddenly I can bombard you with everything. And you remember you were talking about your bank account. Mm. I can lighten your bank account. I can put my finger in your pocket and you don't even realize it. And that is where all this is going, because that's the enormous value of a combination of data and TikTok addiction. You fuse those two things together and commercially, you are basically a bank account to be plundered. But of course...
I'm a human being. I'm not a number.
Well, this is the whole point. And this is where I'm going to end, John. This is all about the dehumanization of curiosity, that we are gradually, through a combination of algorithms and data and information and our time, sending all these pieces of information to an algorithm. Imagine what's going to happen when we send all these pieces of information to AI, to artificial intelligence. Mm. Your ability to be human, to be sovereign, to be independent, will be totally undermined. And you and me and everybody is on the way to being turned into a passive consumer rather than an active citizen. And that's a massive change in the world.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.